Got our councillor Lisa Thompson. She's just got off the phone. You were talking to Dennis Amor, the community board chairperson, were you?
Yeah, that's right. We're meeting up this afternoon. We haven't had an opportunity to touch base with Dennis this year, other than emails and a few texts or a few phone conversations. So we're going to meet this afternoon and look at the year to come. Actually,
so it's a bit of a rude ending to summer. I didn't plan to be on the air. I didn't think I'd be interviewing you today, but there's so many things happening.
There's so many things happening, and I hope...
Mostly wet things,
and I hope that the weather will get better and that we will have a reprieve and see some of the summer that we had previous to what's happening now.
For a moment.
I was at the iHub yesterday, and we had lots of visitors from overseas coming in, and one English couple had been on holiday, and they had arrived as the last flight into Auckland on Friday evening. And so they were quite traumatised and had experiences with the flooding at the airport and then flooding in their hotel that they were put up in. And then, of course, on the Saturday, finding it really hard to get accommodation in Auckland. We're lucky after the cancellation of the Elton John concert, they were able to find safe accommodation through Airbnb. And they'd booked a camper van, which the gentleman said was just awful. It leaked profusely, was dirty, and his wife then said, "I don't think I've cried as much in a holiday of a lifetime as I have now." And so I assured them that, coming to Raglan, they're in the best place.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of got my own story about we got stuck in Wellsford coming from the far north. And I got to say, the community of Wellsford were awesome. We turned up and there were people everywhere not knowing what was going on, except we all knew we couldn't get through.
Yeah.
Because people were stopping and talking to each other. But then they opened their community centre. I don't even know who made the decision. I asked, but they didn't know. And then people just started turning up with mattresses and food. And it was just the word went out on Facebook. They've got a town Facebook page like we have. And it was an awesome performance. The only bad thing was the person who snored really loudly in the hall. It was horrendous.
There's always one or two. Yep. It's just like being in a marae. Someone will be inevitably coughing, or
and of course
will
we
be
didn't
snoring.
Know each other, so we weren't like, if it was someone I know, I would have sort of slapped them and cut it out. But you don't do that to a complete stranger. I just heard you discussing on the phone State Highway 23, and I don't know, there's people working behind the scenes at the moment trying to figure out what's going to happen with that. At the moment, we're down to one lane with traffic lights.
That's right. And my understanding is that Waka Kotahi will, have been assessing the situation, and that they'll probably be making an announcement about that anytime soon. And there is a potential that State Highway 23 in that area could be closed, and it's likely that the diversion will go through Ohotera Road, because obviously Old Mountain Road isn't suitable for the volume of traffic that we have through, including not just passenger vehicles but buses, the trucks and so on. So watch this space. It's a moving feast, given the situation with the weather as well.
So that's the Wangaro Road.
That's right.
My brain was like, where the heck is that road?
It's a sealed road. And I know that our staff have been in discussions through our civil defence and obviously through with Waka Kotahi about that particular situation. And we've got other roads across the district that are key roads that have been impacted by the flooding and by the rain. So obviously our staff looking at what are the alternatives should, the worst come to fruition. So just watch that space, and Waka Kotahi will no doubt be in contact with council and with other agencies.
But have they got people permanently on site there at
They've
the moment.
Got monitoring, yeah, because yeah. it's...
It could potentially go like the one in the Coromandel did.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, people have to be on site because it could be changing at any moment. So just be really careful when you're out driving and keep up to date with any announcements that may happen, not just for State Highway 23, but, of course, for our roading network across the district as well.
And also be aware that there might be things happening that haven't been announced yet.
That's exactly right.
Our experience was at State Highway 12, no, six, whichever one goes through Helen's Fall, I think it's 12. Waikato Kotahi's information was hours and hours late. In fact, I tweeted them and said, you guys are saying this is open and we couldn't get through.
You know, the debacle for Auckland, you know, they'd signed off their social media and that at 7:30 on Friday night.
That was unimpressive.
You know, so I think there's many lessons to be learnt from that process. And, you know, fortunately, the damage for us in our district, there has been damage without a shadow of a doubt. And, for example, you know, Port Waikato was cut off for, you know, a while and other places. So, and I know that, you know, with the slips on Whanga, on the Whanga coast and, you know, out at Rupuki, and Rupuki camp, motor camp is closed due to the flooding and things like that. So, you know, the impact, and then the Papatapu Road, of course, was closed because trees had come down and one was really big, and our staff had been clearing it on Monday and Tuesday. So getting to
So do you think that slips, will be cleared by now, that one?
They were hoping for it to be cleared yesterday, so I need to get an update on that. And then there was a large slip on Phillips Road on the northern side of Aotea of about 15 metres, and that was down to one lane. But I had to have a chuckle because it's a, sort of like a one-lane road anyway.
Half a lane.
Yeah, and so Peacock's workers actually cleared it, which was great. And then, you know, our staff then need to go in and do the remedial repair work from that. So, yeah, so we have had slips, and, of course, Cambrai Road, staff had assessed that, and we'll start work on that. I'll go up after this and have a look.
Yeah, hopefully it hasn't slipped. I know it slipped twice. There was a bit of a second slip, so hopefully overnight it's held together.
And so there's a plan for works on that to happen sooner rather than later.
See, I wasn't here when most of the rain arrived in Raglan, and it feels slightly surreal to me that there's slips like that happening around the place when, you know, I've lived here for 20 years and used to live – there's that little driveway. I used to live off that little driveway around Cambrai Road, so I know exactly where that is. But there obviously there was a lot of rain,
whatever
my brain thinks.
Yeah, and I think little – driveway feeds into four or five houses as well. It's a lot of
plus
vehicle movement.
Plus the walkway down to
Lorenzo Bay. Yeah, so it's a busy spot. So, you know, I'm not a roading engineer, so that must add pressure onto the roading system as well. So it's one of those things, and, you know, we have to act really quickly to manage those issues as they arise, you know. So you never think these things are going to happen, but it's a clear signal of, you know, our changing environment. And, you know, for me, it's also a really good wake-up call that we aren't a little island that isn't impacted by the weather, you know. We need to be resilient as a community and be able to respond really quickly when things arise. So we have, you know, our civil defence plan in place. So then, if we do get cut off in the middle of a major weather event or in an earthquake or anything like that in the future, that we are able to take care of ourselves.
It's funny that we talked about getting cut off, and I just sort of never really imagined that would happen. But it just goes to slow, like three slips could do it, like Ohotira Road, Wairatuna Road, or four, Whanga Road and State Highway 23, and we've already got two of those, and Wairatuna Road can't cope with the load, so that's three roads that we really haven't got, so we've potentially only got one road out of Raglan. So we're actually a lot closer to that than we thought. Yeah.
You've also got the, if you were going the back roads, you could go through to Papatapu Road around Aotea, but that's a long way around. So, you know, as a,
that's like
I don't mean that in terms of the resourcing route for, you know, suppliers coming in and things like that.
But if you're desperate.
Yeah. But then again, you know, they had slips and the trees down as well. So there are many challenges around, and including the treated wastewater discharge.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up. Are we still at a no-go to the water at the moment?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, and that's lasting how long, do we know?
It's probably when I spoke to Keith Martin, our staffer who works closely with Watercare on Sunday evening. He said it will probably be until Friday at this stage, weather dependent, obviously, with the weather bomb that has been anticipated for this area, you know, today and tomorrow, then, you know, have to be really mindful of that. And I know that over from Friday right through to Monday, you know, we had two sucker trucks operating, you know, taking pressure off our pumping stations, and particularly those holding tanks in the bigger places, Wallace Street, Marine Parade, and Lorenzen Bay. So they were working basically around the clock, actually. And Eugene Patterson, who's the Chair of Infrastructure, one of my colleagues from Ngarua Wahia, I spoke to him yesterday, and he said his son, who actually is one of the water care staff, was out here basically from Friday night right through to Sunday, working pretty much around the clock with other staff. So there was a lot going on, you know, in these weather events. And, you know, having the treated wastewater discharged on the incoming tide, of course, is not ideal. But it's taking into consideration, you know, that possibility of having actually raw sewage spilling out into the harbour.
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to avoid.
And that's what, you know, ultimately we're trying to avoid. And I was in contact, you know, also sent out the messaging to, you know, the stakeholders of our hapu groups as well, to make them aware of the incoming tide discharge, and got feedback, you know, it's a necessary evil in these circumstances to mitigate that risk of a wastewater, of raw sewage going into the harbour. So, you know, in the background, you know, I posted it up on the notice board, you know, the link to the Raglan Resource Consent process that's been going on, and the information, you know, from the Zoom HUIs that we've had over the last couple of years.
So this is for the future development of future sewage works.
Yeah, and looking at the options of the shortlist that, you know, Watercare and that had produced, because ultimately they know that our community wants land-based treatment as opposed to a discharge to the Moana. So, you know, and then we have signed off the upgrades to the water treatment plant for the new and upgraded processes at the water treatment plant for the membrane.
This is the technical stuff.
Yeah,
so this is the current situation. They've had to do some upgrades.
Well, we made a commitment to do that anyway, so that's
you had to do that. But in terms of the long term about land based treatment, I know that, thinking back to when that was being talked about earlier, that was even with that, even if that was up and running this weekend, we probably still would have had to have put something in the harbour because the landscape gets waterlogged, especially clay is very hard. Well, they were going to put it into clay, but they're going to find places that aren't clay. But that was always an allowance of that system.
That's exactly right, because we have to have everything considered and offer the mitigation that would be required in circumstances of heavy rain. And, you know, when you're looking at a land-based treatment, you know, we were talking about that for the winter time, you know, that in the winter because there's more rain usually. But look, we're in the middle of summer and we've had record rain volumes falling. And my sister,
and that's a climate change thing, isn't it? That sort of, this is a tropical weather behaviour. In fact, it's tropical air coming down that's causing the problem.
Yeah, and you might have seen the post from my sister Geneva on the notice board. She just shared the level of rain that they'd had in their rain gauge at Timakaka, which is at the end of Phillips Road on the northern side of Aotea, and they've had considerable
just over 200 in 3 days.
Yeah, so that's not an insignificant amount. So you imagine that deluge going into our system. It's a lot.
Now, people do want to know. I mean, there's moaning on the notice board, and some of that's pretty incoherent, so I try to ignore that. But I did want to know, because we had a little bit of a treated wastewater thing just at the end of last year, and there is, on the Waters Governance Board agenda for a few days' time, a meeting, there is some information about work that has been done. And 2017, smoke testing, and it turns out there's not a lot of stuff from our houses. They checked some manholes and tried to seal them up in 2018. and they did some CCTV testing, and they worked on that as well. So I've discovered there's actually been quite a lot of work done by council.
There's been a lot of work done, and there's even since that time there's even more work that's been undertaken, both at the treatment plant and also, you know, with our pumping stations. And I think it's, Aaron, when you're looking at that level of water that has come through, even just into the ponds themselves, which are big bodies of water themselves, taking that rain. There's the, you know, the work on the pumping stations, you know, with you know, the water going in through our pumping stations. They all add pressure. What's coming in the roads, just everywhere, you know, and so just trying to manage that as best as the system can with the resources that we have.
And I know we talked about when we had to spend some money and upgrade the system a few years ago because there was way too many incidences of sewage going into the harbour.
Well, the last big one was in 2016, if you remember.
Yeah.
We had a smaller one that happened, luckily, when the tide was out at Lorenzen Bay in recent times. I think that was probably about 2019, but that was isolated really quickly.
But the discussion around then was how far do we go? And I know there was sort of floated the option that, I mean, we've got manholes and we've got pump stations all around at the high tide level, pretty close to that. And the whole system is not really, it's evolved in site, you know, there didn't used to be any system. But to really, really solve these problems would require huge spend.
Well,
and it would have to come from us, the ratepayers.
Well, this is a prime example of why we need three waters reforms, where we're not relying solely on a targeted rate or rate payer. This is a massive picture. It's not just a Raglan story. It's a story across the country. And, you know, previous to this weather bomb, there were 83 boiled water notices across the country. So that means people who are on a reticulated system are still having to boil their water in order to have safe drinkable water for out of their tap. So, you know, that's scary, and it's a terrible result of our infrastructure. And so, you know, it's not ideal having a discharge of treated wastewater into an incoming tide, but we've had to do that to mitigate the risk of actually having raw sewage going into our you know, into our receiving waterways, wherever that might be, and from whatever pump station or broken pipe.
So you were saying to me off the air that one of the council engineers is coming to the community board meeting, which is next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So we've got Stephen Howard.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what he's talking about, but he's been overseeing he's been very closely working on the Raglan resource consent and the options for land-based treatment.
Yeah.
So Dennis confirmed just before that he is coming in to speak, which is great. So if people have an interest in that, come along to listen to Stephen. And obviously we will be restarting our discussions around that process again, as we have done previously. And Axel Beck was facilitating and chairing that work, and so Eugene Patterson will be, as the chair of infrastructure, he'll actually be filling in that role.
Okay, but he might be able to answer some, because I'm sure the community board and the community have questions.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Because we've had
and I understand people's frustrations, but you know, it's when I see comments like, "Oh, it's because of rangitahi" or something like that. Actually, it's because of the weather. And people.
Yeah, well, rangitahi was planned, and
yeah, it was planned, and you know,
they
actually made a considerable contribution to the infrastructure there that goes to the wastewater treatment plant. So, just for clarity, that you know, this came from everywhere in Raglan, not just one place, and it's a weather event. And moving into the future, you know. We're going to see more of this happening.
Yeah, and the whole world's going to have to, if we want to be ready for that weather, we have to going to spend some money to build infrastructure.
Yep.
I think ultimately, like we've had our current week of activity, but long term, that's the big picture here.
Is and
it's
we've
going to
been,
require money to prepare for it,
yeah.
Or we move away from everywhere where the water goes.
And I think someone said to me yesterday, who was it that said that, Clint Baddeley had said, we've yet to work out how we pump shit up a hill. As opposed to down.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and so that here in Raglan, that's part of, you know, our pump stations are right on the receiving, you know, at places that are right at water level. Yeah. But anyway, those are the challenges. And, you know, so we, myself, Dennis and Ross Wallace, we're going to be meeting to reinvigorate our civil defence planning as well.
Yep.
And that's a, this is a timely reminder. And I spoke to Lara Sweetman yesterday, who's our community wellbeing person for Raglan Naturally. And we were talking about how do we build that community resilience in times like these. You know,
and just before you go, how was the rest of the summer for you? Was it Raglan pretty busy from your perspective? Were you hearing stuff?
Raglan was pretty busy, and I know our staff were busy at Sound Splash, you know, and things like that, and so lots going on. So I've sort of avoided the town in the busy time.
Most long-time locals do,
you know, and but I think people have had a great time. I've spoken to Leanne from the holiday park, and they've been busy, you know, and have had lots of happy campers on site. So, and I went down and I spent some time with the the mongrel mob had their whānau day at the Papahua, so I went down just to say hi. So they looked like they were having a fantastic time with their families. So loads of people have been out and about enjoying what Raglan has to offer before Friday. And hopefully the weather will return to be fine and people can come back out and enjoy our beautiful space.
All right. And the next community boarding, next Wednesday community board meeting.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Not the community boarding.
No, a community board meeting is on Wednesday. Public forum starts from 1:30 and then our main hui starts at 2. So that is in the town hall supper room. So please, people, you're more than welcome to come along.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, Lisa, at short notice.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Reza's here in the studio. We're going to be hearing from her in a moment. She's going to take over. But right now, the news.